Good morning. It's April 18th, and this is your daily brief in U.S. news. Here's everything you need to know. In a bold move aimed at bolstering the American steel industry, President Biden announced plans to significantly ramp up tariffs on Chinese steel and aluminum imports. This decision is set against the backdrop of ongoing concerns about Chinese overcapacity and subsidies, marking a pivotal moment in U.S. international trade policy. The tariff increase is part of a larger strategy to protect American manufacturing from unfair competition. By tripling tariffs, the Biden administration seeks to shield domestic industries from the impacts of global market distortions. In addition to these measures, the administration is actively engaging in anti-dumping investigations and has initiated collaboration with Mexico to block indirect Chinese steel imports to the United States. However, this policy does not come without its challenges. The imposition of higher tariffs could lead to increased costs for U.S. consumers and carries potential economic risks. This approach echoes the protectionist policies of Biden's predecessor, Donald Trump. Yet Biden's team is striving for a strategic and balanced application of new tariff rates. The announcement aligns with the administration's broader efforts to support American manufacturing, including backing the expansion of a Taiwanese semiconductor company in the U.S. and opposing the acquisition of U.S. steel by Japanese Nippon Steel. These actions underscore the administration's commitment to recalibrating trade relations with China and bolstering political support in key states ahead of the upcoming election. As the U.S. prepares for Secretary of State Antony Blinken's visit to China, the move signals a firm stance on trade issues and reflects Biden's dedication to safeguarding American industries. In a groundbreaking moment in American legal history, the jury selection phase for former President Donald Trump's trial over alleged hush money payments has commenced in New York City. With seven jurors already chosen from a pool of Manhattan residents, the stage is set for a trial that will scrutinize whether Trump falsified records to hide a payment to adult film actress Stormy Daniels in what the district attorney has framed as a case of election interference. This trial marks the first time a former U.S. president faces criminal charges, with Trump looking at 34 felony counts of falsifying business records. The composition of the jury, described as politically mixed and mild, includes two lawyers, sparking discussions on the criteria for jury selection in such a high-profile case. Amidst the intense media scrutiny, reports have surfaced of Trump's behavior in court, including instances of him reportedly falling asleep and directing pointed stares at reporters. The potential testimony of Melania Trump adds another layer of intrigue to the trial, raising questions about the personal dimensions of the case. Concerns loom large over the safety of jurors and the potential for intimidation, underscoring the charged atmosphere of this trial. Legal experts and observers are closely watching the judge's interpretation of the case, which could significantly influence the outcome. As the trial resumes on Thursday, all eyes are on how these developments will unfold in a case that has captivated the nation and could have lasting implications for the intersection of politics, law, and media in the United States. In the corridors of power, a high-stakes decision looms over House Speaker Mike Johnson as he weighs the approval of a monumental $95 billion aid package. This isn't just any financial aid. It's a strategic move aimed primarily at bolstering Ukraine in its ongoing conflict, with significant allocations also directed towards Israel and Taiwan. The essence of this package is not just in its humanitarian outreach, but in its heavy focus on military support, with the lion's share designated for purchasing arms and ammunition from U.S. defense manufacturers. President Joe Biden has thrown his full support behind this initiative, framing it as a critical response to the escalating threats posed by global adversaries like Russia, China, Iran, and North Korea. In a compelling op-ed for the Wall Street Journal, Biden didn't just advocate for the package. He underscored the urgency, citing recent aggressive moves by Iran and Russia as a clarion call for Congress to act swiftly. However, this call to action has hit a snag within the House, where Republicans have stalled the legislation. Despite this resistance, Johnson is gearing up to bring the aid package to a vote, showcasing a commitment to supporting key U.S. allies. This package is comprehensive, extending beyond military aid to include funding for Israel's air defenses and humanitarian assistance for Gaza, thereby embodying Biden's vision of American leadership in global crises. But Johnson's path is fraught with internal challenges. To quell the rising tide of conservative dissent within his party, he's proposed a separate vote on border security. This move, however, has not silenced his critics, with figures like Rep. Marjorie Taylor Greene leading a vocal faction threatening his leadership position. This internal discord comes at a critical time when national security experts within Congress are sounding the alarm over the delay in addressing the aid package, especially as the situation in Ukraine grows increasingly dire. The decision before Johnson is more than a policy choice. It's a pivotal moment that could define U.S. foreign policy and national security strategy for years to come. With the world watching, the outcome of this legislative battle could also precipitate a leadership crisis within the House, underscoring the high stakes involved in this geopolitical chess game. In a tragic turn of events, Baltimore's Francis Scott Key Bridge has collapsed, leading to a complex salvage operation and a legal battle over the costs and liabilities involved. This incident has not only claimed the lives of 6 roadwork crew members, but has also caused significant disruption at the Port of Baltimore, a vital commercial hub. Salvage crews are currently dismantling the remnants of the bridge, with a 4th victim found amidst the debris on April 14th. In response to the disaster, the owner of the container ship, Dolly, responsible for the collapse, has declared a general average. This legal maneuver requires all cargo owners to share in the salvage costs, a move that has undoubtedly stirred controversy among those affected. Grace Ocean Private Limited and Synergy Marine Group, associated with the Dolly, have taken steps to limit their legal liability by filing a petition in court. This action comes as the Dolly remains lodged with parts of the collapsed bridge on its deck, effectively blocking the main channel into the Port of Baltimore and halting commercial traffic. Plans are in place to refloat the Dolly and return it, along with its cargo, to the port once it is deemed safe to do so. The disaster has prompted investigations by both the FBI and the National Transportation Safety Board, aiming to uncover the sequence of events leading to the bridge's collapse. Initial findings suggest that the incident began when the Dolly lost power and collided with the bridge. As the legal and salvage operations unfold, attorneys representing the families of the victims and a survivor have vowed to challenge the petition to limit liability, seeking to hold the responsible companies accountable for the catastrophe. In a revealing Senate hearing, Boeing found itself under scrutiny as whistleblowers, including a current quality engineer and a former engineer, brought to light serious safety concerns and production issues within the company. This testimony not only casts a shadow over Boeing's manufacturing practices, but also raises significant questions about the oversight of federal agencies in ensuring the safety of air travel. Sam Salehpour, a current quality engineer at Boeing, and Ed Pearson, a former engineer, provided firsthand accounts of what they describe as safety shortcuts and production issues at Boeing. Salehpour specifically raised alarms about the 777 and 787 aircraft, claiming that crews failed to properly fill gaps in the fuselage, a critical component of aircraft safety. Pearson's concerns were centered around the 737 MAX, an aircraft model that tragically crashed twice in 2018 and 2019, claiming hundreds of lives. The response from lawmakers and the Federal Aviation Administration, FAA, was swift and serious. Promises of more hearings and legislative action to address these safety concerns were made, with the FAA affirming its commitment to holding Boeing accountable for making real and profound improvements in safety practices. Meanwhile, Boeing has stated its commitment to fostering a safety culture and ensuring that employees can raise concerns without fear of retaliation. These revelations come at a tumultuous time for Boeing, which is already navigating the fallout from a recent CEO resignation and a significant 35% drop in its share value this year. The FAA's ongoing investigation into the claims and the shock expressed by senators over the allegations underscore the gravity of the situation. As Senator Blumenthal remarked, "Boeing is at a moment of reckoning," highlighting the critical juncture at which the company finds itself in addressing these safety concerns. This has been your daily brief in U.S. news. To read more about these stories, follow the links in the episode bio. You can also subscribe to these updates via email at www.brief.news. For more daily podcasts about the topics you love, visit brief.news/podcasts. Tune in tomorrow. We'll be back with everything you need to know.